Welcome to Culturally Canceled with Russell Peters. This is a podcast, and today on the show with me is my youngest daughter, Angelo Sarukas, and my older sibling, young Kevin Nealon. The legendary Kevin Nealon of SNL fame, of comedy fame, of weeds fame.
You know, I got to tell you, Russell, you like to be called Russell or Peter?
Well, Peters is my last name.
Yeah, I know.
It's like me calling you Neil.
Yeah, that's right. I'm hearing the word legendary a lot lately. Does that mean that I'm going to be dead soon?
Well,
and can you call somebody legendary if they haven't died? Or a legend is dead, right?
I think a legend
is dead.
Well, no, you could be a legend still. The legend.
A legend, Kevin, in his own right.
Legend. Well, you're a legend in a few people's rights. I was read my rights, and you were one of them.
Hey, first of all, I'm a little nervous because I didn't know the name of your show is called Culturally Canceled.
Well, don't worry. If you say something you don't like, we'll cut it out.
Oh, that's
right. If there's
a
subject matter that you're like, could you not? I was like, we'll take it out. No problem.
Okay, sweet.
It's not a gotcha show.
Oh, I love the gotcha shows.
Well, how do you feel about the African-American community then?
Somebody had a show. I think Howie Mandel had a show he was doing from his little production company. I think his son was doing it or something, where they would invite a couple to come over, and then they would have to take their phones out and show them their phone, what's on their phone.
Oh, wow.
I mean, talk about a gotcha show.
Yeah, that's called a breakup show is what that is.
I think so.
Yeah, that's not the show you want to be on if anything can be misconstrued on your phone.
Of course it can. It's all misconstrued.
I know.
So I'm just listening because I was just thinking about what's on my phone. And I mean, when you really think about it, everybody's like, what's on your phone? And they have secret compartments and secret apps. And I think everybody's got something on their phone.
Well, look, Angelo, if you only have one phone, you're not hiding too much. But if you've got a bunch of phones, like Rudy Giuliani, 18 phones or something, you're hiding stuff. But here's what I'm doing. I recently cleared out my storage unit, got rid of it after 18 years, and $80,000. It was like $450 a month. Just,
really?
Yeah, I was just storing stuff in there that they would throw away after I died anyway. So it was like basically renting a dumpster. But I was looking through boxes and I think, this is like from a girlfriend I had 15 years ago. Why am I saving this, you know, or 30 years ago? So I threw away. And then I started thinking, I should start clearing out all the crap I have, like, in, you know, incriminating stuff. Like, but it's impossible.
Like, you were going to say like.
You know, like old messages. I love to save messages. I'm very nostalgic. I have messages from the first time I did The Tonight Show from Paul Reiser and Brad Garrett, you know, congratulating me.
Those are good things to have.
But also I have women breaking up with me.
That's fine, too. It takes you back to that time and place.
It does, but, you know, I don't want my kid finding those.
Why would you keep them?
Why wouldn't you?
Just because I'm nostalgic.
I'm the same way.
It's like, you're an asshole. I'm breaking up with you. I'm going to keep this note.
No, if I need to go in for a sad part or I need to cry. In fact, this one girl broke up with me, and I had to go in for a McDonald's commercial for a Big Mac. And she had just left me for somebody else. I was devastated. I only went out with her for 6 months. And I started, you know, I went in there and I had to cry for the Big Mac commercial. And there's like the four people that are, you know, the casting people are behind the table, like American Idol judges. They're watching me. I start crying and you could tell them they're visibly up. I've upset them. I'm so sad, you know.
Big Mac.
Yeah. So I got a call back, but it was like 4 weeks later and I was kind of over the girl now. So I brought like the answering tape. I brought her 8x10 to look at before I went in. And I nothing. I had no feelings for her at all.
A pint of her blood.
And I didn't get the commercial. So she screwed me over again.
You didn't book it?
No,
so what, you had the cry? Was the crying because you couldn't get a Big Mac?
Something like that. I don't remember.
He got McScrewed on the deal.
Yeah.
Felt like that McShafted. I felt like that once at the drive-through. It was closing at 2:00, and I got there at 2:05, and they said we're closed, and I started to cry.
You're an easy cry. You don't need a picture.
Yeah, it was a food cry.
You just need to go through a drive-through on your way to an audition. But you know, I realized
you gotta book your auditions at 2:15 a.m.
I realized that it's impossible to get rid of all the evidence. Because there's iClouds, you know, there's stuff everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And you don't know who screenshotted you.
You do on a DM, though.
Not really.
Yeah. I found out.
Really?
Yeah. You could, like, screenshot a DM somebody sends you, and it tells you on Instagram.
You'll say screenshotted?
It's a picture. They show a little camera.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
You better watch yourself, man.
I'm fine now. I went through that, all my nonsense stuff, so I'm okay now.
Yeah. I bet there's a lot of breakups now because of technology where people don't realize, the Bluetooth goes to the family speakers. I didn't know that on my phone. Oh, my phone call went to the car that my girlfriend
is driving.
Oh, yeah,
that's the worst when somebody pulls up and... Or if my lady's driving her car behind me too close, the Bluetooth will keep traveling back and forth.
Oh, yeah. No.
And she'll be talking to her sister, and I'll be like, no, wrong car. And then I'll hang up on her.
That's not a good example, but I know what you're saying.
You get it?
I know what you're saying.
But right? I also know what you mean as well.
Yeah.
You open your phone, you're on the phone, your wife takes the car, she leaves, it picks up a Bluetooth, you're talking shit about her.
Well, I'm not talking about my wife. I'm talking about previous wives.
Wouldn't that be pre-Bluetooth? You've been with your wife 18 years now, haven't you?
About that.
Yeah. She's a really nice lady.
We've been
lady.
Together for 20 years.
Yeah, she's a really nice lady. She follows me on Instagram sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes I click on her page and it says follow back. And then sometimes it'll just say follow. I'm like, wait a minute. Did she unfollow me?
No, she doesn't unfollow. I taught her how to mute people, though.
Oh, I think maybe she muted me.
Do you know who I muted the other day?
Who?
I couldn't believe it. It was a Beatle, Ringo Starr.
Why?
He was posting too much. Too many stories. Like, he needs attention, right?
Yeah, well, he's a Beatle. He doesn't have a lot going on in his life.
I got rid of him, man. I silenced the Beatle.
Hey, George.
Is there a protocol to how much attention you should have? I agree with you. There's some people that are going on every 7 or 8 minutes, having a sandwich, taking a crap, whatever. I mean, Jesus Christ, how many times you got to go on? I get tired of it sometimes if
That's
it's Instagram.
When you mute them. But also, I'm tired of seeing food. I see food on menus. I don't need to see it on the phone.
Yeah, I'd be more interested if they showed me the food and then what it looked like after, you know, like, not that I want to, but I'm like, if you're going to show me before you eat it, show me after you've eaten it too.
Yeah, or at least show me you eating the food.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't know if you're actually or if you're going to eat this. It might just be you've taken it for photographic purposes.
I think eating food is much more private and personal than, say, sitting on the toilet and going to the bathroom. Because you're just excavating on the toilet. It's food that's done. Right. But when you're putting food into your mouth, it's all like the pink lining, and it's inside of you. It's an orifice, and you're chewing it, and the tongue is whipping around.
You were doing? I was eating my sandwich before we started.
Yeah,
you were just watching my tongue whip.
I was watching. I was saying, man, he's hot. This guy's hot with the way he eats. And I think we should have business meetings not over lunch, but over toilets.
Yeah.
You know, people should go into a public restroom, sit next to each other in toilets, and talk about their business deals.
I think that a lot of business deals used to happen like that, didn't they? Back in the 60s and stuff.
Yeah, that's how they did it. I like watching people eat.
Do you?
It's like there's a lot of people. They're.
How about talking with their mouth open?
It doesn't bother me.
It doesn't
mouth
open.
Nah, it doesn't bother me.
You catch some of that food that comes out.
Have you ever been to a Greek wedding? That's how everybody eats, pretty much. They're just eating and talking and drinking at the same time.
Greeks and Italians and Jewish people are pretty similar. The way they celebrate, they're very loud. They're all loud, and
they're eating and talking at the same time.
Yeah, because they.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Angelo is disgusting, by the way. He he keeps his phone on speaker when he talks, right? But he has no clue how much he spits. The other day we were in Chicago, literally 2 days ago, and he pulled up the map because we were driving to go eat breakfast, and he had his map up. I go, dude, I can't see your screen. I think you cleaned it. Good. But it literally was caked on like old spit. It was disgusting.
Angela's the only one that has a windshield wiper on his LED screen.
He really does need a windshield wiper.
And I get that because when I talk, I get really passionate and everything's flying out, right?
Yeah,
and
I didn't realize. Why do you spit so much?
I don't know. I guess when you're when I get excited.
Or when you're overly lubricated in the mouth?
No, the thing is, I think my earwax got into the
Are you spitting
speaker.
Out earwax?
No, wow. But when you put the phone like this, blocking the speaker.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Look at this stupid phone.
It's not the earwax. You have hairy ears. You got to.
I keep trimming them.
I know, but you got to get like a man bun done in your ears right now.
I got to get
due. You're due for a trim.
But think about it. Look at this phone. It's a flaw from Apple. Look how big the speaker is. Look at that.
That's not the speaker. That's the listening part.
Oh, the listening part. Yeah, it's shit.
Yeah, but who actually holds the phone to their head anymore anyway? Kevin, are you a phone head holder?
No, I like to put the speaker thing on. But I was thinking, you're talking about people spitting. I remember Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam, played on SNL. And he was like spitting like in between every lyric. you know, like just spitting on the ground.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I mean, big blobs of, I thought, I guess that's like an alternative music thing that they do, you know?
That's why it's called grunge.
I guess so. Yeah.
It's to match the weather of where he came from, Seattle.
Yeah. Do you know who was from Seattle?
Bruce Lee.
Really?
Yeah.
But who else?
Eddie Vedder.
Chris Cornell.
I guess you're not very experienced.
Oh, Jimi Hendrix. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he played Little League up there.
Yeah, he did. He was from Seattle. That's right.
Yeah.
Amanda Didn't Jimi Knox. Hendrix sit in with Ike and Tina Turner band for a minute?
He Maybe. Did a lot of other people's bands before he became
himself.
He was
working with them, right?
He was part of the Barquets, wasn't he?
He was with the Mamas and the Papas. It was the Mamas, the Papas, and Hendrix.
There was, that when he was with them, it was the Yo Mamas.
Yo Mamas and Papas. All the leaves are brown. Brang, brang. He's a great guitarist. But he had to go to England to kick his career up.
Somebody told me that maybe one out of three Jimi Hendrix concerts were good. The rest, he was just so like loaded and wasn't playing good. Because I used to go down to the that place next to this Comedy Cellar in New York, the Wawa, yep. Cafe Wawa. He used to play down there. In the village.
In what year?
That year that was a long time ago.
In the 60s, obviously. Yeah. He died when
Back in the 1900s.
And where would you park your horse and carriage?
Exactly.
My friend saw 1968. It was The Doors in San Francisco. Opening act was The Who.
Who did they go see? No, who was the headliner?
That's pretty
the
amazing.
Doors. Oh, The Doors. The Who the opened Doors, for The Doors.
He said he paid $4 for the ticket, and they dropped some acid. Actually, Steve Pearl, comedian from Vegas. Do you know Steve Pearl?
He's from San Francisco originally, right?
Yeah, and he used to write with Robin Williams. Steve told me. And then he was friends with Johnny Winter and those guys. He still has the ticket stub.
What was the first concert you ever went to?
The first concert I ever saw was Kiss. Ottawa Civic Center, opening act was Cheap Trick.
Well, that was 1977.
Russell, 1977.
Yeah. Mine was actually Kiss as well, and it was 1982.
I'm not sure who my first was. It was either James Taylor or it was a trifecta. The Eagles, Edgar Winter, and Yes.
That's a good
Hartford,
show.
Connecticut.
That's a good show.
I did a TV show in England 25 years ago. It was like a stand-up series they were doing called Live at Jonglers. And Rick Wakeman was the host of the show.
From Yes?
Yeah, from Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
At the time, I mean, I knew who Yes was and I knew their music and stuff, but it didn't really dawn on me that, oh, shit, this is Rick Wakeman.
Those guys are a lot like, I'm not comparing us to them, but we all work on the road. And that's what they did too. They would they probably have the same conversations. You in town for a while? No, I got a gig in Chicago or whatever, you know. And they're always traveling. That's where they made their money.
Yeah. Have you gone back to gigging yet?
Yeah.
On the road?
Yeah. Yeah. Opening up for Edgar Winter next week.
Oh, you're killing it.
No, I was in Salt Lake City a couple weeks ago. And
a Wise Guys?
Yeah.
No, it's a great club. Downtown or the other one?
It was in
the
West
Landing.
Jordan? West
landing.
Jordan,
yeah, the Landing.
West Jordan. Jordan's Landing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've done it a lot, right? You've done those clubs a lot.
We just did. Matter of fact, you were there with me.
I was with Russell.
I just did that in. When did we do that? March, Eddie, or
March.
April? March. March. Did it in March. If you find you have less hair than you used to, you're not alone. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they're 35. And as a guy who's experienced it and continues to. I'm here to talk to you. But if you're looking to keep the hair on your head, I'd suggest trying Keeps. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. There are only 2 FDA-approved medications that can prevent hair loss, and Keeps just happens to offer both. And Keeps is affordable and convenient. Treatments start at just $10 a month, and medications are delivered straight to your door every 3 months. I'm a big fan of the fact that Keeps offers convenient virtual doctor consultations so that you don't have to leave your house for an appointment. Hair loss isn't fun, so it just adds insult to injury if you have to carve out time in your day just to go to a doctor's appointment to talk about your dumb head. So choose Keeps, and you can keep yourself at home. Here's the thing. If you're curious about trying Keeps for your hair loss concerns, I'm here to tell you that you should give it a shot. Like I said, I love that they offer such an easy, discreet, and convenient solution to something that so many of us men struggle with. Why worry about hair loss anymore if you don't have to? Prevention is the key here, and treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results. So if you're thinking that Keeps might make sense for your hair loss, well, I wouldn't wait. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/Peters to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/Peters to get your first month free. Keeps.com/Peters.
I was doing a film in Salt Lake City, so I booked that gig for one night. I had a
You only did one night?
One day gig on a film, and there one night.
You didn't want to do the whole weekend?
No, you know what? This pandemic has really made me appreciate staying home and watching my kid grow up.
I mean, he's 14, doesn't want you to watch him anymore.
Oh, no, he's amazing. He just, I know how fast it goes by. It's like that was a wake-up call. It's like, do you see how much you've been gone over the period of time?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like all of a sudden, your kid is walking now at 14.
It's true. The one good thing happened during the pandemic. It was that. So my daughter's growing up. My daughter plays with Russell's daughter and their buddies, like we are. And the thing that I've seen for myself, being on the road all the time, is that the good thing is that I get to stay home and hang out with my kid. You know, but after what's the threshold of when is it when you say, okay, I got to go back to work? Like, we got to go back to work. Russell's been going back. I mean, start going crazy.
We had to go back. I had to go back to work. We had to make money.
Well, eventually you have to make money. I mean, had we known a pandemic was going to come, we would have saved a little more money, you know, to get us through a year and a half.
I would have bought a few less watches and cars.
Cars, yeah. Yeah, you're a watch guy, aren't you? You still?
Yeah, not as much anymore.
Don't look at my watch like that, man.
I saw it when you came in, kid. You got the green face, Rolly. I see what you did there, young fella.
But this is all I have left. My house was broken into.
No.
We were gone for 3 months in December. I know that's only 1 month, but tag on 2 after that. We were gone for those 3 months, and somebody broke our window in the back, and they crawled in. And I know that the guy, but I don't want to be a sexist, but it could have been a woman too. So this bitch comes in, right? And, and I know they had no remorse at all, because my wife is into positive affirmation signs. And like on our walls, we got signs like, you're exactly where you're meant to be. You know, you deserve this, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, but he got cut coming in. So there's some blood splatterings like on the railing and stuff and in the closets, and which is actually good because we had forensics came in and took samples.
Did they really?
Well, I say forensics, but I mean some of the actors from CSI. And they took samples. And but getting back to watches, that he didn't take that much. He took a few handbags, which I loved. And he got a watch, a Rolex Submariner that I had that I gave to my father. It was engraved on the back from my son.
Right.
And then a watch from Lorne Michaels from when I left SNL.
What kind of watch did Lorne Michaels give?
Pardon me?
I feel like Lorne Michaels give you a Longines or something.
It was a Cartier, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't give it to me. I took it.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
You were leaving.
Also, I think he took some of Gary Shandling's ashes I got after he died.
Do you have some of Gary Shandling's ashes?
I do, yeah. It's in a little urn that I wear on my neck sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is he gave me those ashes before he died. There's a guy who doesn't want to wait around, you know? He gets things done.
Take these. I don't need them.
Yeah. How are my ashes?
Aren't they funny?
But how many watches do you think you have?
Now I'm down to like 7, I think.
Do you ever think about melting them down into one watch?
You know, now that you bring it up.
Have you ever melted anything down?
No, I don't understand the world of melting down.
I think it's when you're like trying to hide something. Oh, I'm thinking of lime with bodies. No, but I think people will melt, like criminals will melt gold down into one big nugget.
Well, they fence it that way, right?
Yeah.
They get all the stuff and then they...
Wait, how do you know these words? Have you seen a Rolex? Have you seen a Submariner Rolex or Cartier?
It was in the back to say, Dear John. Or yeah. Was it? Yeah. No, not that one.
But have you ever had your house broken into?
Dear Ness is what it says.
You guys had your house broken into at all ever?
No.
It's really unsettling because it's such an invasion.
Because it makes you feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
I always have people in my house. Even when I'm out of town, there's people in my
house. Well, apparently I do too.
I just hope mine don't bleed.
Yeah. Do you worry when you get cut and are bleeding?
I mean, I think it's pretty normal to worry when you get cut and you're bleeding.
No, I mean, it's like I'll get cut. As you get older, you start bleeding for no reason at all. Your skin is thin and it starts just bleeding, you know?
I get when I shave.
Do you?
I get it in my hemorrhoids. I think that's where I get it. It really shows up.
But who cares about the legs, you know?
I have to share this with you guys because I was working with Russell in Naples. And this, I don't know if this
Naples,
is just
Florida?
Getting Naples, Florida. And we were on a friend's yacht, a famous cigar guy, Rocky Patel. And then what happened was we got off the, it was late in the afternoon. And when we came back,
it was evening.
When we came back, really, it was all dark, really dark. Because when we went out, it was still sunny out.
Yeah, we know how it starts. Yeah.
And then when he came back, so I was on the dock and I was with Russell's girlfriend and we're standing there. And I thought the house, like, from here to there, I could just walk to the house. And then what happened? I walked right into the ocean.
The dock itself was narrow. About as wide as this.
Very narrow.
And he wasn't paying attention. He was talking to somebody. And he was stepping aside so that somebody else could get past him. And he stepped right off.
And I've never heard Russell laugh that much in my life. And he was hammered driving the yacht.
Why you got to say that? He was hammered and driving the yacht.
Well, you were.
The captain asked me if I would like to steer. And I was like, you know, I've been drinking. He goes, that's fine. You can't really do anything.
What are you going to run into in the ocean?
Yeah.
You hit a fish?
No. I mean, what's the worst thing could happen to a boat in the ocean? What are they going to run into? An iceberg? Get out of here. It's not going to happen.
That was one of many stupid moments. But then they told me after that there's huge crocs and bull sharks in those waters in the inlet.
In the bay.
Were they talking about you?
Probably. Well, I would have been like a buffet for them, for sure. But if you think about it, like I didn't have time to think about it. Now, there's zebra mussels all on the side of the dock, so I couldn't touch it. So what they had to do, they had to hoist me. I had to get on top of this thing that lifts up the boats.
It did. The boat that lowers the boats and lifts them in. Yeah.
So I had to get on that, like Free Willy. And then they brought me up and they pulled me up on it. And I was all drenched, man.
They scraped the barnacles off you?
That's what they were worried about, him hitting the barnacles, because they said slice them right open.
It'll slice you right open because they're like razor sharp. It couldn't touch the bottom or the side.
I thought it was a protected species or something. That's why you couldn't touch it.
Probably.
Yeah, but that's scary, man. Like, he had no idea what was going on.
I didn't know. I just fell right in, and then I lost my glasses.
Dude, how many people are dying because of cell phones and the camera backing up and looking down and texting?
But the blooper ones are funny if you watch those.
They are funny, man.
Like the people that walk back into fountains trying to take a picture or something.
Those bloopers on YouTube, my son shows me them all the time. These kids on their bikes going off of jumps, flipping and landing on their head, and the other kid not putting the camera down, just laughing, you know, and the ambulance takes them away. They're crippled for life, you know.
But we got some good footage.
They got good footage, man. That's all that matters.
That's at the end of the day, was it funny?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like my manager used to say, if I complain to him, you know, Bernie Brillstein.
Yep.
Like the legendary. Talk about legendary.
Was Bernie your manager?
Yeah. For a while.
I was going to have his son on with you too.
Really?
Mike.
I don't know his son.
I know his son, Mike Brillstein.
But he would say, you know, if you come back from a gig complaining, oh, it was horrible. Did you get paid? Yeah, I did. I'll hug him then.
And that's where the Jews differ, really. they find the positive in it, you know?
My son's going to a camp, Rikers Island, actually. No, he's going to a camp, and we just want to hang out in New York, and I'm doing gigs from there. I'm like down in Florida and Pennsylvania and New York and Connecticut.
What kind of camp?
It's a camp where, you know, they can learn Premiere Pro, Photoshop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's at a college, and they stay in the dorms.
It's a high-tech camp.
It is, sort of. It's a learning camp, because he'll go to a regular camp before that to get it all out, you know?
Right. Like swimming and...
Swimming.
Outdoorsy stuff.
Outdoor stuff.
Outdoorsy, pickpocketing.
See how much it's changed? It's changed a lot now. These kids, my daughter's on her iPad all day playing... Roblox and Minecraft. And sometimes I try to distract her and I said, honey, you want to go for a ride on the bike and I'll walk around with you? No. Do you want to do any of this thing? And all I'm doing now is, I wish I bought shares in Roblox.
Yeah. Here's what I get from my kid a lot. Hey, Gable, you want to go down to the mall on Pico? How long a drive is it? It's like 20 minutes. Can I stay home? Does not like being in the car more than like 3 minutes.
You know, oh, really?
We're going to the end of the driveway. You want to come? How long's the ride? It's just to the end of the driveway. Okay. You know.
But how long are you going to be there for?
He doesn't even seem to mind how long we're going to be there. It's just being on the road.
That's weird. I like being on long drives and stuff, but I like driving, though.
You do. You like driving those big old SUVs, those big...
I like whatever I'm in.
Rapper bling SUVs.
Rapper bling SUVs. Yes, it's a whole certain... There's a subsect of SUVs you guys don't know about.
You're into cars, right?
Yeah.
I saw the best Ford Bronco. It was a 76. There's a company that restores them in Ohio. You know,
they're like $250,000, though.
This one was $100,000.
Yeah, they're expensive as hell.
But it's
for
beautiful.
Ford Bronco?
No, what they do is they put all modern technology in it.
Oh, cool.
This one had the old stuff in it still, but they do have the ones with the new stuff, the LED screen and all that.
Oh, this one was restored. A restored one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they do the resto mod now. I think Joe Rogan has one of those. Yeah. And it's manual transmission, but it's like everything else is like really good in it. Like it's got the... It's
paint
got
the job,
disc
the
brakes,
leather seats,
paint job,
everything is fantastic.
You know, airbags
and
all kinds of stuff.
And I love that style of Jeep too, you know.
I want to get a 93 white Ford Bronco because of where I live. I really have been looking at them online.
Where is that Bronco right now, do you think?
Oh, I don't know where his is, but...
It's being restored in Ohio?
Yeah, for $100,000.
Getting the blood out of that?
Yeah, you can pick one up for like $19,000 though. A 93 white Ford Bronco. I looked at them online.
Would you get an electric car?
Maybe one day.
I have one. It's in the shop now. We're having a gas engine put in it. But I love it, man. I love that thing.
I don't like electric cars. Well, I don't know what's going to happen to fossil fuels. I mean, everybody's like, electric car, you can't hear them coming.
I love how you're worried about fossil fuels.
I'm worried about
what's
going to
happen with the oil sitting in the ground?
That's oil from dead dinosaurs. You know, that's what we're using.
I was trying to be technical
here. What happened to the dinosaurs? Seriously.
I don't know, but they really power our cars now, and I think it's a good thing.
Isn't there a gas station with a dinosaur? Huh?
Who coined the phrase fossil fuels?
Well, it's from fossils. It's from dinosaurs. It's
somebody from a long time ago.
It's a prehistoric.
I wish I knew dates. I don't know dates. I have to just do like picture things. Like, remember during the covered wagon times? You know, I don't know. When was that?
You could be like, hey, remember the covered wagon times of 1936? It was like May.
That was a Ford Bronco. There you go.
I meant 1836. Damn it, my fault too.
Have you seen the new Ford Broncos? They're really badass.
Yeah, but they're not what I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
What car disappointed you the most as it evolved? A Stingray?
The Corvette? It did go through some bad variations.
How about the Jaguar?
The Jaguar had its moments up and down.
Volkswagen?
Volkswagen kind of was consistent.
I would tell you the Volkswagen, I'm not promoting them or anything, but I'm tall. I'm 6'4", and they got a lot of room in that car.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you driving now?
I drive an electric car.
Really?
Yeah. Plugged Tesla? Into your house. Your electric bill is going to be a little high this month.
You plugged it in?
I have a Tesla. I have a Muskie.
A Muskie. Which one did you get? Did you get the Model X?
S.
Oh, you didn't get the SUV one with the gull wing doors and everything?
No, they didn't have that when I got my car.
Oh, okay.
My car is 25 years old. It ran on static electricity for a long time. I had to rub it on my head and then put it on the road.
You'd have to rub your head against it to get it started.
And it would stick to the ceiling too sometimes. I like this car because it's, you know, I'm not a car guy. I just want something that's comfortable, that's got a good sound system, and that's not going to break down.
I don't find Teslas comfortable. That's why I don't like them.
What don't you find comfortable about
the seats?
Them? What's wrong with the seats?
They're just two-way seats. It's like up or, you know, recline or slide.
If I had to pick one problem with it, it would be the seats, but not for that reason. It's because I'm tall and they're a little difficult to get out of and to get in.
Is it because it's so low?
I think it's because it's low and the seats, I have the seat pushed all the way back and I got to kind of get out and around, you know?
Yep.
And entering the car too, I go in ass first. Okay. I just load my ass in and the rest of me follows. You know what I mean?
There was a BMW I went to test drive one day. It was that i8. Remember when they had the i8? It was like a hybrid one. It was like very futuristic looking. Yeah. It had sort of like gullwingy doors. They opened up at an angle. But the well between the door and the car was like almost a foot wide.
Wow.
And to get in, I had to point my ass in and then drop in like you're jumping out of a, like you're scuba diving.
Right.
And I didn't take the car for a drive. I was like, fuck this. I don't want to. I can't get in and out of this car freewheeling.
You don't wear a snorkel the whole time you're driving.
Yeah. So I didn't ever.
Have you ever seen the guys my size trying to get in and out of Lamborghinis on YouTube? There's channels of it. They roll on. Have you seen that?
Yeah, there was the.
Why are you buying a Lamborghini?
It was there was one with a really large black dude, and he at a gas station, and he literally had to roll out of the car.
He ended up
on the
ground.
He rolled out of the car.
Like. Why would I buy, like, not that I could buy one, but why would I buy a Lamborghini?
Do you ever wish you were a cop when you see people driving crazy?
I do, actually.
I drive down Sunset a lot.
Here, look at this one, Kev. That's Angelo when he shaved his head. It looks
like... No, look, this guy can't, he can't, there's no way, man.
They use bait to get him out.
Look at him. Well, that guy's 2 times my size, man.
You got to get the guy that falls out of the Lamborghini. He literally had to roll out. He rolled out of the car to get into.
Like the guy literally rolls out like he's doing some kind of military maneuvers or something.
But I'll be driving down Sunset late at night, and I'll be coming back from a club or something. Not even that late at night, and there's these people.
Made it sound so mysterious.
Own these Ferraris,
right?
And I think of them as like trust fund kids,
which you're probably right.
And I'm not going to say where they're from or anything like that. I'm not going to judge. But I think they're trust fund kids.
Right.
And they are just flooring it. And they're weaving in and out of cars like they're in the Le Mans, you know?
They're crazy.
And I just wish I was a cop then. I can't even get their license plate because they go by too fast.
There's too many.
My back is to the screen. And you guys are watching the screen. This reminds me of when I pitched an idea once to an executive at Sony.
Just pitch it. Pitch it back to us.
I'm pitching the idea, and he's watching a basketball game on the TV.
Yeah, yeah, good show.
And every time I looked up every time I looked up from my paper or I was pitching, I'd see him go from the screen back to me.
You know what happened to me once at an audition? I was in there at the audition, and I'm doing my lines, and I heard the casting agent looked at his assistant, get me a tuna on whole wheat and hold the onions. I could hear the guy saying
he
that.
He was just like, teasing you.
And I'm just sitting there like, I could guess use we're
that.
Done.
I could use that tuna sandwich.
Oh, here he is. Here, Kev, watch.
This is the guy.
He doesn't own that car.
Why would you buy this car?
He didn't buy that. Okay, it's this guy.
Why would you buy this fucking car?
He needs a pickup with a seat in the back.
He needs a pick-me-up.
But you imagine you pull up with a girl, you're like at Sunset Plaza, you're like in this beautiful Ferrari.
Paparazzi's out there waiting for you.
You're rolling out like a walrus. On the car.
You know these basketball players that are like 7'1" or whatever? They've got to have a custom-built seat where it slides all the way back. You know, where they have a track that's extended?
Shaq is always selling his old cars. And I'm like, I don't know how, like a lot of them have no back seats because he'll like take the back seats out so he can fit in.
Yeah. Or he drives from the back seat.
Well, he probably does. He probably takes the front seat out. Summer's basically here. And if your basics game is a little too basic, it might be time to update your wardrobe with Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is the brand that's reinventing men's basics. And their collection has everything you need for whatever your day might throw at you. With a collection that includes t-shirts, underwear, polos, button-ups, shorts, pants, swimmer, and more, Mack Weldon has you covered, head to toe, or maybe top to bottom, but whatever, you'll be covered. If you're looking for a new pool and beachwear, I can't recommend Mack Weldon swimline enough. Their trunk and board shorts have 4-way stretch fabric, which means you can chase your kids around the beach without ripping a seam. And trust me, I've ripped a few seams in my time. And you won't have to worry about your suit cutting into you in an unflattering way when you're seated so that you can stay comfortable and look good all at the same time. To be honest, my big problem is that one problem right there. And when you're not in the pool, Mack Weldon's new Maverick Tech Chino Short and Radius Short are perfect for active summer days. Stay cool and comfortable this summer and look great doing it with all new collections of men's essentials from Mack Weldon. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/Peters and enter promo code Peters. That's MackWeldon.com/Peters, promo code Peters for 20% off. Mack Weldon is reinventing men's basics.
I mean, it's got to be, but the discomfort they go through is made up for on the basketball court and the fame they get.
And the money.
And maybe the money.
I think they get enough money to, you know.
Dude, he's on every commercial.
He is.
Even the General Insurance.
Yeah.
You know, that little cartoon.
The General.
The General. Hey, there's the Shaq O'Neal, and Shaq O'Neal for Gold Bond talcum powder. Shaq O'Neal for, you know.
I've never heard somebody call him Shaq O'Neal.
Shaq O'Neal.
Sounds like something like a Shaq.
It's Shaquille.
Guy.
It's Shaquille, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It says Shaq. Shaq.
I used to live in Manhattan Beach.
I don't
Beach.
Know why he doesn't get the gigs when he auditions. I don't know.
I used to live in Manhattan Beach. A lot of basketball players lived down there. And I'd see them around. I became friends with Kurt Rambis. You know, he used to play for Lakers.
Right.
That's right.
It's a long time ago. And we had the same shoe size.
Really?
So one day he goes, hey, man, if you ever want any sneakers, I've got tons in my garage. They've been sitting out there for years. You know, he gets these promo sneakers.
Right.
Never been worn. You know, they're in the box still. So I said, sure. Why don't you give me like 5 or 6 pair? And so I'm not going to wear more than that. So he gives them to me. They last about a week, and the sole falls off because they've been sitting out there.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they dried
yeah.
The glue. You know, all the glue is dried up.
I've heard that happen to many, many people.
Yeah?
A friend of mine... he got a pair of these really nice Jordans from another rapper guy. He used to collect them. He was like, hey, we're the same size. Why don't you try these? Take these. These are brand new, never wore. They're about 5-6 years old. And he said he put them on, went to the mall, and literally walked right out of the shoe. He walked in the mall, and I took one step, and the sole was left behind him. And he was like,
"What? They were sitting around too long? Was that
yeah,
it?
Yeah. They can't. They got to be worn, or because the glue dries up."
I don't want to date myself, but
well, you can. You're married.
people don't get married anymore. no, but remember when basketball players used to play in Converse sneakers?
Oh yeah,
Chuck Taylor.
Chuck Taylor.
And
that was
like the nice sneaker back then.
And that now it's hard to walk around in those. I don't know how you play a game in those.
Oh, they're really flat. Like you feel flat footed, and they run big too, about the half size big.
They in fact do run a half size big.
Yeah,
I tried on a pair yesterday. I'm an 11, and they had to get a 10.5.
Because Chuck Taylor is actually an inch higher than he says he is. Take a break. We'll be right back. you're not a sport. You're not. Did you play any sports growing up?
I boxed amateur for 9 years, and I do jiu-jitsu, but that's about it.
I boxed amateur in the professional leagues.
What was your sport? I'm assuming basketball because you're your
height. You would assume that, but I was 5'8 when I graduated high school.
No.
Yeah. I grew like to 6'4 after
exponentially, apparently.
And when I showed up to my high school reunion, It was fun. I played rugby, soccer, and football.
And now you just golf?
I'm getting back into golfing because I had my shoulder replaced last summer.
Really?
Yeah. You
What's
can't
wrong
tell
with your old shoulder?
Pardon me?
You have a rotator cuff?
Well, I was a quarterback in college.
Were you?
Yeah, I was. I played at Fairfield University in Connecticut. But I went to a different college. I graduated that college. My buddy Bill says, hey, man, we could play football at Fairfield University on the club football team if we take a night course. So we took night courses in criminology. And it qualified us to play football. The starting quarterback got hurt. I never played on a team before. We played pickup football. We had all the equipment, though. We had helmets and pads, and we played the gangs from across town on the football field, no refs. So they were really, so this game was like playing with a school where they had refs. That was kind of easy. And I had a really good arm, and I was a kicker too. So the starting quarterback got hurt, and I played the whole season, got MVP. I loved kicking too, and so I moved out to LA to become a comic, and I thought, I'm going to try out for the LA Express, USFL football team, as their kicker. So I went and I bought like 6 USFL footballs, which are a little bit lighter than the NFL, and I practiced kicking every day down at Fairfax High. Mm-hmm. And I thought this would be a good like kind of gimmick as a stand-up, a good hook. Here he is. He's not only a comedian, but he's also the kicker for the LA Express. Let's bring him up here. You know, but my career took off before the free agent walk-on thing, so I didn't do it.
What year is
also 80? USFL fell apart.
It's like 80, 81?
Around then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What, didn't Trump have the New Jersey Generals? Wasn't that his team in the USFL?
If he said Herschel, it was, I don't know if it was or not.
I think Herschel Walker played for them, I think.
Yeah.
He had a hard-on for the NFL. And Marcus Dupree, when he left college, went to the New Orleans franchise.
This is all very entertaining information. I like this.
I don't. I just triggered something off in my head.
You're just checking to see if you have Alzheimer's, right? You just want to make sure you don't have Alzheimer's.
No, I did. You said USFL, and I remember.
Oh yeah, I know.
You know, it's
give us some more interesting tidbits about
the facts. I know useless facts.
Yeah, USFL. That's what USFL useless stands for, yeah. Facts.
Useless facts.
So that's the only thing I do now is golf, which I'll be doing again soon. I play every year up in Lake Tahoe at the American Century Golf Championship, and it's on NBC. So you're on camera hitting the ball. And so I play. They pair me up with Charles Barkley
really
every year because we both suck. But he sucks not because he's bad at golf. He has a psychological hitch in his swing where he can't swing through. He stops about a foot from the ball. And then it continues. Seriously.
Are you serious?
Everybody's tried to fix it. Tiger, Hank Haney, all these people, they can't fix it. He's tried hits with one hand, closes his eyes. So I beat him usually by about 10 strokes every year. But he's fun to play with. He smokes a cigar like you guys. And
I think this is the only way to smoke it, with your mouth. I mean,
well, no, but yeah, that's true.
What about Phil Mickelson? Oldest guy to win.
Oh, more facts, guys.
No, yesterday. It was yesterday. No, I'm just saying yesterday.
Yeah, I heard. I heard he was winning. He won?
He won. The guy's like 50. Was it 53?
That's the oldest guy?
Well, no, that's his golf number.
Do they have numbers in golf?
Golf.
Is that the number of his jersey?
I don't know what his jersey was. I'm just saying that's. I thought it was pretty jersey.
My sister-in-law went to a pro tournament once, a golf tournament. And Phil Mickelson was there. And
you did a commercial with him, didn't you?
No, with Arnold Palmer.
Oh. He's from Latrobe, Michigan. I mean, Latrobe, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
More facts.
She told her husband.
Oh, watch him. Charles Barkley's golf swing.
Yeah, there it is. See?
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Wow,
that's weird.
See, that's fucking weird.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
No.
No, it's true.
And I'm a little better than that.
You can't follow through.
His legs start twitching.
I've seen him walk away from it because he couldn't do it. I think he's afraid he's going to hit somebody. I think that's why he has it. It's a psychological. But why would he worry about that?
I don't know.
My father was following us once, and he's watching Barkley swing. And I leave the green, right? I leave the tee box. I hit already. I'm walking. Charles catches up to me. He goes, he's smiling. He's kind of chuckling. I said, what's so funny? He goes, some old dude back there said, just hit the ball. Just hit the ball, Charles. And that was my father. Yeah, Latrobe, Pennsylvania is where Arnold Palmer's from. And I did a commercial with him there. That's where he learned how to golf.
That's where my manager, Paulie's from.
Is that right?
Yeah, that guy right there.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's done everything, Arnold Palmer.
Is he still alive? I mean, he passed. No. Well, like a few years ago, though.
We became really good friends. We were buddies, you know. I was kind of disappointed.
Was it the Valtrex commercial?
It was for herpes.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? No. What was that, man?
It was for Xarelto. A Xarelto. Blood thinner commercial.
I love his drink.
Yeah.
The Arnold Palmer.
Well, you know, when they asked me to do a pharmaceutical commercial, I said, can we make it at least a little funny? Mm-hmm. You know, they say, yeah, a little bit, but not too much, because... So he'll order the Arnold Palmer, and I'll say, I'll have the Kevin Nealon. You know?
Wait, who else was there? There was a third person.
Chris Bosch.
Chris Bosch. Yeah, I know Chris.
Brian Vickers, the race car driver.
Yeah, that's right.
That was it. But Chris Bosch was playing, and he brought his acoustic guitar with him. He was learning how to play the guitar because I guess he couldn't play basketball because he had this condition.
What is that condition?
I think it was, I don't know what he had, but you take that if you have like AFib.
Or do you have AFib?
I did. I had an ablation. Or if you have a blood clot or ATV or something.
All-terrain kind of vehicle?
Yeah, if you have an ATV at home, you got to take it.
And you got rid of this AFib?
I don't know if you can ever get rid of it, but I don't have episodes where my heart takes off anymore.
Is it, was it do just race?
Oh my God. It's like horses running. It's like 200 beats per minute, 250.
Oh shit.
And then it slows down and then becomes irregular.
Do you panic?
At first you do.
Yeah.
I mean, I was always feeling my pulse on my neck to see if it was in a regular rhythm. And then finally, my doctor said, look, this is happening a lot. Why don't you just go get an ablation? So I went to this Italian doctor. It was great. He was like the pioneer of ablations.
What is ablation?
Ablation?
Sounds like a black and Asian person. My stepdaughter.
I'm going to take a break, Russell. We're going to come back and we'll talk about that statement when we come back.
My stepdaughter's ablation.
An ablation is when they, all right, in a nutshell, an AFib is an electrical problem with your heart. It can't kill you, but if you let it go for a couple of days, you get a blood clot and that'll kill you.
Yeah.
But so what they do is they don't know what causes it, but it's an electric. I get all this stuff that people don't know what causes it. Like I have my feet get numb from neuropathy. It's not diabetes or Parkinson's or anything. It's just an irritated nerves. They don't know what causes it.
The top part of my right thigh is numb at all times.
Really?
And I don't know what it is. Like I know I'm touching, but I can't feel it.
It's not, you know, you've heard
I'm
of
serious.
No, I know you're, no, I'm just
from
thinking.
Here to here.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm thinking as you get older, we start talking about neuropathy and all
I
this.
I wouldn't worry about that. That's probably just diabetes or something. But this, this has, this is just gets numb and, you know, and it's weird. It's not totally
numb.
Does
it affect your mobility?
A little bit. My balance a little bit.
It's not MS related?
No. No, I wish I had a name for it. I wish I was a minority so I could have something to talk about my act. I wish I had MS so I could blame something on it, but, you know, I don't.
Please give it up our AFib comic of the year, Kevin Nealon, ladies and gentlemen.
So anyway, the ablation is they go in through your groin. There's that big artery or vein there. And then they go up through that to your heart, and then they come in through your neck. And then they...
Is there not a better way of getting at this thing?
Well, you take the 405, but that's usually back up. So they go in through that way, and then they solder it. They like little dots around the area that has the electric current that's going
haywire. Do they cauterize it or solder it?
They cauterize it, sort of. Like they make a little corral around it, scar tissue. And then the guy finishes, and I'm relieved because it's like, you know, 10, 14 years of that. You know, now it's done. I don't have to worry about it anymore. But he goes, yeah, you look good. You know, I think you'll be fine. I did see a scar in your heart, but it doesn't mean anything. A scar? What do you mean? A scar? What's that from? He goes, I don't know. Nobody knows anything. What causes neuropathy? I don't know. I went to bed.
You know, I think the scar on your heart was caused from that ex-girlfriend from the McDonald's commercial.
I think you're right. I think, it could be. I've had breakups where I've had noises coming out of my mouth I've never heard before, like a wounded animal. I'm on the floor, you know, it's like, oh, 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 oh. You know, Spielberg's, hey, you want to do the next Star Wars? But no, it's really kind of crazy as you get older, you know, you think you're going to, like, I always thought, man, I'm going to work out the rest of my life, man, I'm going to be at the gym, I'm going to be lean all the time and, you know, toned.
You've stayed very lean over the years. You've never had a fat moment.
Last year's been a little rough, but what happens, you don't know, is your body starts breaking down. I go to bed, my mother died about a year ago. And a week after she died, I go to bed and I wake up in an ambulance. This is last April.
Right.
I don't know anything. They tap me on the shoulder, they say, Mr. Nealon, we're taking you to St. John's Hospital. You're in an ambulance. You had a grand mal seizure.
A what?
A grand mal seizure.
Okay.
I thought, how did I get to France? Why am I in France? But it's all like disbelief. And I think that's how you die eventually, is you don't even know what happens. You're just gone, mm-hmm. You know? But had I not woken up, that would have been it. But I woke up. I can't. No, that would have been the way I went. You know?
Had I not woken up, that's about right.
I would have not known anything. You know, I just would have been gone. But, so I get to the hospital. And it's funny, you know, I try to avoid talking about any of this stuff because I hate comics talking about getting older on stage. Like, I won't do that. I won't talk about, you know, oh, man, I'm getting old, you know.
You're going to hate my new act.
But you're still young, so you can get away with it. Anyway, they do all kinds of tests on you, MRIs, X-rays. And then the doctor, you know, I come out of the MRI thing. I'm in and out because I'm tired, you know. And I come out of the, you know, it's a tough conversation when Russell's distracted by the bird.
The birds are driving me nuts.
I hear the bird singing.
Yeah.
I'm like, just what, like, in my head, I'm like,
what happened next?
In my head, I'm like, shut like I'm the pitching fuck a up, movie to trying to listen to Kevin's story.
Anyway, the doctor looks at the MRI. You got tests from my MRI there? he looks at it, he goes, I don't know if this was the cause of your seizure, but you have a tumor, a brain tumor. We found a brain tumor.
A brain tumor?
Yeah, but it's a meningioma. It's a brain tumor that's not in the brain. It's between the brain and your skull right here. You can't see it. And so stop looking up there.
Take off your hat, maybe.
He said it's been there for like probably a couple of decades. It's calcified. It's probably not growing. I wouldn't worry about it. I like it when people tell you, you just had a seizure. I wouldn't worry about that tumor, though.
It's nothing. Don't worry about it.
But anyway, I've had it for like a year now, and I just take anti-seizure stuff now. I don't have room in my pill box for any more pills, Russell. Yeah. I have to stand on it now like a suitcase to close it.
You don't even take multivitamins anymore.
I have to get rid of the vitamins that I have in there because there is some vitamin D and some B complex and C.
Those are the ones that are actually very necessary ones. You should need those.
Now they are. But I don't even know what... I've been so busy lately, I don't even know what today is. According to my pill box, today is M. That's all I know.
M day.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Angelo and Russell Peters, the Peter brothers.
On medication Peterbilt. With Kevin Nealon.
What meds are you on right now?
Oh, I'm on a bunch of stuff.
Besides Valtrex.
Valtrex is number one, but I only bought that because of your endorsement to it.
That you thought
I
it
don't
was.
Actually have AFib. I just was like, you know, that's my friend and I want to support.
It's Xarelto, but still, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Xarelto, sorry. Shit, I'm on the wrong drugs. Which one is Valtrex for? I hope that's not the that's for HIV shingles. Medicine, is it?
Shingles?
Oh, it could be for shingles.
Herpes, cold sores, herpes.
Cold sores and all that kind of
you
stuff.
You know, this last year, it's kind of been like the 80s with STDs. You know, people, are you vaccinated? Yeah. Do you have like any kind of sweating or before you have sex? You are any kind of cough? Anything? You
know? And this is your wife talking to you.
And that's my mother.
she haunts you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're together now. That's nice.
Yeah.
Wherever they are, they're together. Feel.
Or they're nowhere.
That's true. They could be nowhere. They could be nowhere. But they're nowhere together.
Are your parents alive still?
Just my mom. She turns 80 this year.
Okay. My mother lived to be 90, almost 92.
Yeah. I remember when you posted it and I sent you a message, I believe.
You did. Yeah. But no flowers, but that's okay.
No, I mean, I figured.
But she's in the bonus round, though. Over 90 is great. If you could get into that age.
After 85 is bonus round.
Yeah, it's bonus. You're in there.
What is the age when somebody dies where you don't get upset and say, what happened? What happened?
After 85, I would think.
85 and up.
Oh, 85 and up?
Yeah.
I would think 80.
Okay, we can go with 80.
Somebody in the paper says, you know, so-and-so died, it was 81, 80. You go, okay.
80 is a good number.
It's not that you don't care about them. It's just like, well, it happens, you know?
By the way, it took me a while to find it.
Sorry.
Oh, there it is. Okay,
yeah,
there it is.
It's Angel getting lifted out of the water.
Sit on it. Sit on it.
This is like fucking National Geographic.
So the Angel.
That was me filming.
And that's Russell filming, if you hear him laughing in the background. And that's the captain who's really cool.
Fuck.
It took around 10 minutes.
At least. At least
10 minutes.
It was a sandy bottom, though, right? It wasn't rocks.
No, it was all.
I feel like a fucking retard.
Let's see. My lady FaceTimed his wife as soon as it happened.
That was great.
So his wife's watching this in real time on the phone.
Yeah. My wife's watching it in real time in LA, and I'm in.
Did you land
on
your back?
I'm okay. I walked straight in, like you didn't see the edge.
No,
I didn't see it. I think I came up. I can swim.
He literally walked the plank.
How long after that did you continue to laugh?
Like, oh, shit. All night.
I know
all
you
night.
Stop, and then you think about it again, you start laughing. Again.
Absolutely.
I love those moments.
I still laugh about it.
I'm good.
I showed it to my friend, and he looks at me and he goes, you're like the
step right in the water, and I didn't bang anything up.
Fuck it. That's right.
I know you knew
it. He's not banging anything on the road.
I mean, I walked right off the dock, didn't even see it, and fell right into the water. Like, it's just...
It's taking you there, longer to get out of the water than that woman that swam from Cuba to Key
West.
I'm talking
from the beginning she left Cuba.
Russell was going to pass out from laughing. I've never heard him laugh that hard. Never.
As soon as you knew you were okay.
I did. And once I found out I was okay, that's when I started laughing.
Honey, I didn't see it.
And then, but I started getting really light. And I started
getting... I knew it was dark.
I was afraid of it because I can't swim, so I would have been dead.
No, you can't swim? How do you do that? Why don't you go learn? I'm learning Spanish. You can learn to swim.
A real friend would laugh at me.
What country do I call this to learn how to swim?
Any country.
What part of Mexico do I
call? I used to teach swimming to handicapped kids. Really handicapped kids. They can swim.
I did that. I was talking to Elizabeth and I fell right in the water.
Were you on
the
boat? I'll get in my pool and I'll doggy paddle.
Oh, so you can swim.
I get to the deep end in doggy paddle.
No hurt,
right?
No hurt. No.
What kind of dog?
Shih Tzu.
Shih Tzu paddle?
I swim like shit.
They will cut you like razor.
Well, it's easy, man. It's all about just...
No, you know what it is? I panic when my face goes underwater. My head goes underwater.
How about when you're shaving?
Does that scare you? I don't submerge when I'm shaving.
Shower? How about a shower?
Shower's fine.
Sprinklers? How about sprinklers? Work your way up to the pool. Run through the sprinkler and then jump in the pool.
I ran through sprinklers my whole childhood.
Hey, better him than me. I can't book
it. They're pulling me up with the bullets.
No, swimming is...
I almost drowned twice.
I can swim.
I did too.
When I was
scared you.
Four and when I was 13.
It took me by surprise. I thought you were screwing
around. And then that was it. I was like, nope, I'm good.
My father was a hero many times, but one time his kids fell through the ice in a pond. And he rescued them.
Stuff in the dryer. We get you a nice robe.
Where'd you grow up?
No, but I'm crying.
Florida.
Really?
No. It was Connecticut.
And I fucking believed him, too.
Connecticut.
All right.
Yeah, we used to skate on the lake by our house every winter and play hockey and stuff. It was great.
I'm playing Bridgeport in a couple of weeks.
That's where I'm from.
Are you?
Yeah. Stress Factor, right? That's where I'm going to be in July. Bridgeport is like...
Wait,
it's the Detroit of Connecticut.
It's going in his pocket.
Which part of Detroit? The Detroit part of Detroit?
The Detroit part.
Oh, yeah. That's what everybody said. Don't go out at night.
It's very, 20,000 Greek. It's very diverse. It's ethnic. It's a lot of like... I'm telling you, there was mafia there when I grew up. Gangs, you know, drive-bys.
Well, it's Connecticut. They're all in the witness protection program there.
Yeah. I mean,
Bridgeport.
A couple of the mayors were convicted and sent to prison for racketeering there. The city almost went bankrupt a few times.
Recently?
Not recently that I know of, but I will tell you that there was rumor that Wayne Newton met Johnny Carson there at the a diner on Main Street to talk about buying a casino in Vegas.
Together?
They had a disagreement.
There was
a lawsuit or something, and there was, yeah. That's just a rumor, though, I think, but it may have happened. But the big thing about Bridgeport, I don't know if you're superstitious.
I'm not, but carry on.
Most of my friends, you know, I lived in a blue-collar neighborhood. Most of my friends' fathers were either firemen or policemen. And I came home from school once, and my buddy Bill goes, okay, we got to go down to Lindley Street. There's a haunted house. There's a girl possessed in a house on Lindley Street. I said, no way. He goes, no, my father told me. My father's down there now. He's a fireman, you know. So we go down there, and it's at night. Now it's dark. It's the winter. It's all lit up. All the press are down there. There's... throngs of people.
Nope, there's not thongs of people.
No thongs. But there was a house in Brazil where there was thongs and throngs of people. Throngs of thongs. Good name for your next special, by the way.
Throngs of thongs with Russell Peters.
Straight from Brazil. Waxed. Fully waxed. So I go down there, and yeah, and there's like hundreds of people, and it's barricaded off. There's lights, there's cameras, there's, you know, news, there's cops, and apparently a girl was adopted from an orphanage that was on an Indian reservation in Canada. You know, that's where she lived now in this house. It's a little bungalow house on a side street. And apparently the cement swans vibrated and shook to face each other out on the porch. The refrigerator elevated up. The crucifix fell off the wall. My friend's father, who was the captain of the fire department, told us privately, said, I was walking downstairs to check the foundation. And I kid you not, coming up the stairs was a cat. It looked up to me and said, how's your brother George? And he's got a brother George. As if a talking cat wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. He was psychic cat.
Psychic talking.
And he wasn't joking. He wasn't joking. This is a real fact.
That's what I remember. Maybe he was at the time, but I remember that.
I believe in that stuff.
I thought he was serious.
I believe in that stuff. There's definitely an energy that a lot. I don't know if you could call it haunted or not, but I feel it. I can sense it, and you can always feel if there's somebody else in the room, and I can feel it. And I know. But the thing is, you don't want to tell people this because if you tell them that, then they think that something's wrong with you.
I think you should stick to facts.
Go with the facts, but no, but you can. I can sense it.
Are you one of these people that believes in signs too? Like, yes. if you like ladybugs, I have a friend that loves ladybugs. If she sees a ladybug, she goes, "Oh, that's meant. I'm meant to do this then because I saw that ladybug. I'm supposed to buy this house or whatever." You know,
100%.
Really?
If I'm driving and I see a red hexagon, I stop.
You know, if all right, let's say you're on the fence, Angelo, about doing something.
Right.
It's got to be a strong fence.
Let's say you're on a cement wall. You're on a cement wall. About doing something. I'm gonna ask you, like, tonight, before tonight,
yes,
you see, what's the thing you look for? Is it a paperclip or is it?
No. It could be.
Is it a hamburger?
What? No, but it could be anything. Sometimes it's seeing a person, a place, or a thing, something. It could be a bird or an animal.
So you don't have a specific thing.
No,
that's like
you got to feel if something's going to happen like that. Or sometimes you ask yourself if you get lost and you end up somewhere, why? And sometimes it's true.
Because you didn't follow your GPS?
Because my Waze wasn't working.
But also, because your fucking screen on your phone was so dirty from all the spit that you couldn't see the...
Here's what I wonder. If you're stopped at a stoplight or if you don't make it through that stoplight, how would your life have changed if you got through that green light, you know, and didn't stop at that light?
That's a little different because
I'm wrong.
No, but I mean, that you know, it's a stoplight is one thing, but have you ever been in a situation where you end up somewhere... And then you ask yourself, what am I doing here? And then there's a sign of something that happens that tells you that. And I know this sounds spiritual, but...
So you pull up somewhere and you're like, what am I doing here? And then the big hospital sign, you're like, oh.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Right. I was having AFib or something.
By the way, there was a time, Angelo.
A grand mal aneurysm.
When I had that AFib thing going on, I would know exactly where every hospital was and which one I was closest to. And the most insecure I felt was when I was right between the middle of two hospitals, equidistance, because I knew I'd have to get, it'd be at least 40 minutes to get to one of those two hospitals.
You were like, traffic, which one has less traffic right now?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, some people have certain things that they always look for. Like if somebody passed away and they see butterflies the next day, like that happened with my grandmother. We thought, oh, that's a sign from her, you know? Or if you're like my friend's mother loves paper clips, love gold paper clips, use those a lot. If she saw a paper clip on the ground, she goes, my mother's signaling me.
Because there was something about, I once, when I lived in Toronto, I saw a man walking at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was on the porch having a cigar. It was early morning. He looked exactly like my father, identical to my father. And he was walking and I freaked out. I stood there staring at him. And another time at the Cleveland Improv, in the front row, a man and a woman, I came out on stage and the guy sitting at 12 o'clock exactly looked like my father. It was so weird.
Maybe it was your father.
Maybe it was him. I don't know. It's so weird. And I kept trying to do my act and I kept staring at the guy. Have you ever done that where you're on stage and you see somebody that reminds
familiar.
You of somebody or familiar?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think this is you.
No, but I'm saying is,
usually if I see somebody familiar in the audience, I probably know them.
No, but what if you're not sure with the lights on and everything else too?
Then you got to hit him with that line. Where do I know you from?
Yeah.
Stop hitting on me.
But the guy, look at the guy and say, hey, you're my dad. But that's happened to me a couple of times, actually.
Do you know that disease that Brad Pitt has? I think he has it. And then I know another guy that has it where they don't recognize faces. Like you,
is that
could,
real?
You could know him, yeah. You could just have a meeting with him for an hour and then come back in because you forgot your coat. He wouldn't know who you were. He'd probably know you because of your clothes, whatever you're wearing. But yeah.
He can't remember people's faces?
Yeah, there's a
Maybe
name.
Maybe that's
for
why
it.
He breaks up with these women.
Maybe. Maybe.
What's it called?
Huh. Well, so, why can't they just give it like a regular name, like Forgot Face Guy?
Yeah.
Well, in Greek, prosopa is face.
What's Muria?
Is it really?
Muria, yeah. Yeah.
Is it Muria face too?
Prosopa. Most of these words, gentlemen, come from Greeks. A lot of these words, phobias, diseases, illnesses.
I'm trying to think of the swear word my friend told me. Malacca.
Malacca.
Yeah, malacca.
That's our favorite word.
Malacca.
On the road all the times.
You call people malacca?
Prosopagnosia.
Yeah.
That'd be horrible. You got to pretend you know everybody. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. He's a really good actor.
Long time no recognize.
Does he remember smells or something?
Yeah, I mean, if the guy's smelly, then it's your benefit.
I mean, you'd want to go in fragrant when you meet him.
Well, it says it right there. Prosopa, which is face.
But I thought Muria was face.
Loss of memory. So prosopagnosia.
Wait, what's Muria?
You got prosopa, which is your... And then Muri. So Muri is face, but prosopa is like the your whole...
Head?
Head.
But that's kefali.
Kefali, so... The prosopa. Well, you're the one that brought it up, Kevin.
Brought it up for a second.
For a second, you went, I didn't think we were going to have a debate over this.
Man, I just had a Spanish class. I don't even listen to Greek now.
Do you think, Kevin, do you think that's true? Or do you think everybody wants
it's
to meet
a great excuse.
Right? No, think about it. I mean,
I did introduce my wife to him a couple years ago, some award show, and it looked like he knew her. Mm. I was pretending to know her. I gave her a big hug and a kiss.
And he called her Kevin.
Yeah. I got to stop trying to think I know people's names when I see them because it's, I get it wrong all the time. Like, I'm trying to show them, like, how you know, what a great memory I have. Hey, Dwayne, how you doing? You know, and then later, it's Wayne. Wayne. You were close. Dwayne.
I mean, Dwayne's not that far.
I know, but I don't want to. I mean, it's not even usually that close. And it's a girl. I think we covered everything, didn't we?
I think we got this.
I think you edit this down to 5 minutes and you're good.
Yeah, we got to. Oh, just the facts, people. It's Angelo talking for.
Well, I was just bringing up facts. I'm into that. I'm into geography. I'm into populations. I'm into things that people maybe don't think about.
You know, I was just telling my son this. I said, I don't think you need to go to school. You could stay home and watch Jeopardy, TED Talks, Shark Tank. And get a great education.
You really can.
You know what I mean? Masterclass.
Yeah.
There's so many things going on at home that you don't need to go into school. There's
it's like
four courses
collected
right
information.
Yeah.
Or useless
It's probably more useful information you're going to learn that way too.
I'm sure.
You're also going to know what 100 people surveyed and the top 10 answers would be.
Yeah. Where are those three?
Oh, you know what? You were on Family Feud. I saw you. You won.
I was. I did a lot of these game shows the last year, except for Jeopardy. I would be the worst on that. I would forget how to set up the what yeah. is yeah. who I'm sorry what I forgot to say what is
yeah I would you do know? The same thing what is and who is and how yeah that's where I would screw that up. My cousin was on Jeopardy.
Oh wow.
She won 3 days in a row. This was in the early 2000s, I think she did this. My cousin Tanya.
That's pretty good.
She's really smart. That's why
I play at home with my family, and it's just like just yelling at the TV.
I do well at home.
Do you?
At home I do really well on Jeopardy.
I do well at home with comedy too. If I get to a club and it's just like crickets.
I know. I heard your son tweet about how well you kill in the kitchen at dinner.
My son wrote the first joke he's ever written for me.
What did he write?
He wrote it for himself, but I took it. His teacher asked him. I heard him on Zoom. His teacher said, "What have you guys been what have you been doing to stay busy during the pandemic?" And he goes, "Well, we've been binge watching our Ring doorbell footage." I said, "I'm taking that."
My daughter came up with a good joke during COVID. She's 8 years old, and she said, "Daddy, I slept on a piece of cereal in the kitchen. Does that make me a serial killer?"
That's good.
Which I thought was really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my kid's a better joke writer than I am.
I think our kids are like, because my daughter.
Your daughter's the same way.
Yeah. She was eating shredded cheese. And then she made a cross out of it. And she goes, "Look, it's cheeses."
That's good.
So that's actually pretty funny.
Here's a T-shirt that I was working on for a while.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, a design. I came home from the gym, and I looked at the sweat. You know how the sweat, like on a tortilla, you see Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looked like Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But not quite. So I kind of like did some experimenting, sampled stuff. Like I would... make it look more like Jesus on a Christ. Like I had sweated that out.
Jesus on a Christ.
I mean, Jesus on a cross. And as if that was, you know, what happened with my workout. And there, that was the image of him.
And then people and go, how was your work? And you go, holy, it was good.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, it was
great.
Hey,
I want to ask you about your art because it's freaking awesome.
Thank you.
The paintings?
Thank you.
I just want to know if you would draw me one day. I would be honored if Kevin. Yeah, those are amazing. Look at those. Like the Jim Carrey ones, like incredible.
Wow, those really are cool. Good. You know, I look at some of these, and these are from like a year or so ago.
Yeah, those are really
good,
Kevin.
And I've gotten better.
What do you do with them?
Good question. I just got a book deal with Abrams.
Right.
Not a coffee table book, but one that you could kind of take with you, where I'll have about 50 of those in it. And then on the opposite page, I'll have a little anecdote about that person, like how what my experience with them, like what? Whether it's Tom Petty or, you know, Jim Carrey or whomever.
How big are they when you initially paint them? Are they paintings, sketchings? What
They're
are
they? Digital paintings.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You do that on a computer?
Mm-hmm.
What app?
Although I did just take an oil painting class last Saturday, so mm-hmm. I've started that as well as Spanish. Learn how to paint in Spanish.
You should take a Spanish digital oil yeah, painting class.
But I took lessons from a guy in England two summers ago on Skype.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting at LAX waiting to go to a gig, and I was following a few artists on Instagram, and I saw this guy's work. I said, I like this guy. And then I saw he was giving art classes for 500 euros for like 10 weeks. So I took those, and he showed me how to get into digital art. I never knew anything about it. And
it was funny when you were on Stern, he wasn't catching half the jokes you were dropping.
Yeah.
A lot of them were just flying over his head, and I was listening to it. I was laughing my ass off.
Well, you know, he's like so far ahead. He's not like thinking at the moment, I don't think, because he's got rapid fire questions, you know? Does it have the latest one I just drew of Andy Kaufman?
Is the Andy Kaufman up there already?
I didn't see it. Well, I just posted it today.
Kevin Nealon,
it's on
art,
my Instagram.
Andy Kaufman.
Instagram?
Would yeah, you just type Kevin, in Kevin Nealon,
Kevin
art,
Nealon artwork.
Andy Kaufman.
That's yeah, well, awesome. Wow. Look at that.
So I've gotten better, like over the, and I find the more time I spend on each painting, the better it is too.
This summer, I plan on being out and about as much as possible. I don't think any of us had enough fun last year at this time, myself included. So I'm looking forward to filling my schedule with as many shows and trips as I can. Whether it's for work or play, a lot of us are going to be on the move again this summer. So my advice to you is take your Raycons with you. Whether you're listening to the two-part, culturally canceled episode with Big Daddy Kane, Ari Spears, Lord Finesse, and Mad Skills, or you're listening to all the music recommendations that were provided in those episodes, a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears will make all the difference. You get crisp, powerful sound at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycons look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors and with customizable gel tips included for a comfortable in-ear fit. That's very important. I have a pair of blue Raycons and my fiance has a black pair, so it makes us easy to figure out whose is who. She's the black one, I'm the blue one. I don't know if that means anything racial to you, but it doesn't mean anything like that to me. It just means we don't mix up our earlobes or our inner ears. And Raycons are built to go wherever you go. With quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case, it's real easy to toss my Raycons in my carry-on with their charging case so I don't have to worry about them losing charge when I'm on the plane. And that's really when I rely on them. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. And here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Peters. That's buy, B-U-Y, raycon.com/Peters. There you'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. And it's such a good deal, you'll want to grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Peters. buyraycon.com/Peters.
And you just got bored at the airport and thought, I'm going to sign up for art lessons.
Do I have to become more famous to be drawn?
No, it's just a matter of time. I got to do this book by November. I have to have all the stuff in. So that's a painting a week plus a story.
But you can't use the ones you've already made?
Yeah, I'm going to use some of those. But I don't have a story for all of them. But when I turned 60, how old are you?
51 this year.
Oh, wow, you're getting up there. When I turned 60, I said, enough with the rehearsals. I'm going to start doing the stuff I've always wanted to do in life. And it meant everything, you know, taking Spanish, salsa dancing. Haven't done that yet.
That's a great language.
But
you should see if there's a Mexican lady who can teach oil painting and salsa dancing at the same time.
They probably all can. But one of the things was going on Howard Stern, and also on Bill Maher on Real Time. I'm not a big political guy.
Have you been on Real Time?
Yeah, I was on Real Time like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
It was great. And I boned up on all the issues. And Stern was great. I always avoided that show like the plague because I didn't want to be made fun of and put on the spot. And mm-hmm. I went on there. He couldn't have been more respectful and nice and
yeah, I don't think he's doing as much gotcha anymore.
He's successful now, I think. And he's just, I think he's more secure with his place in life. And he's learned these interview skills, which I think he's really one of the best interviewers out there.
He is, actually.
Besides you.
No, I'm clearly, I got a little holes in it.
Yeah, I think you're leaning on Angelo too much. You need to break free. Get rid of him. Get rid of the dead weight.
He's solid, You gotta.
How much better is this than the Lovitz interview, huh, Angelo?
Kevin, why are you talking about me? Russell's gay.
Is that a welding torch? You should wear goggles when you light that thing.
I know. That's why I hold it away from my face. I don't know who sent me that. I think Sebastian sent me that, if I'm not mistaken. I really got to confirm.
The original Sebastian or the comic?
The comic.
Oh.
Sebastian. Who was the original Sebastian?
Wasn't he a pirate or something?
I think he was.
He was a sailor. What other vices do you have besides alcohol and cigars?
Vices
and fiancés.
Oh, that was funny.
That's the hardest he's laughed the whole day. That's the hardest he's laughed.
That was funny.
He takes a bigger inhale on that cigar now. Now that you're 51, do you get checked for colonoscopies?
I just had one a couple of weeks. Colon and endo, all in one shot. Had the old spit
same
roast.
Tool?
Yeah. But when he was doing my colonoscopy, both his hands were on my shoulder, so I was a little nervous about that.
Wow. Oh, that is a little weird. I bet that's in your act.
No, actually, it's not. But I did honestly, when we went in and he said, you in front of, I go, do you want to just put an apple in my mouth once you're going to do this?
I tell you, I love being put out for surgery or for a colonoscopy. I just love whatever that drug is.
Yeah, propofol.
It's propofol.
But the problem when I did it, it's when I first did an endoscopy before they just gave me propofol and I woke up and I felt great. This time they doubled down. They gave me something else and propofol, and I woke up feeling groggy and irritable as hell. I was grouchy.
So you felt normal?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt I was.
First time I took propofol, I'm laying on the gurney. I look to my right. It's Michael Jackson.
You're like, what are you in here for? And he didn't answer.
But I remember being wheeled in once I had my shoulder replaced, and they gave me the drug, that kind of loosens you up as you're going in. And right before you're passing out, I remember the doctor saying to me, please release the railing with your left hand and release my neck with your right hand. But you just go in there, and I always worry that I'm going to say something like under the drug when I'm coming out of it or something, because my wife likes to be there because she knows I do that. That's how often I get something done.
You don't even have problems. You just like propofol a lot.
Yeah, yeah. But, you think you're being really funny, and it's like the worst. Like, I bet you play table tennis, huh? With those moves, huh?
You sound like me on stage.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, are you still doing your show at the Laugh Factory on...
No, I haven't been there in over a year because of the pandemic.
No, but when it comes back, are you going to be doing it again?
If Jamie wants me to come back, new material night. I love doing it, but it didn't really bring in a lot of people. So I think Jamie kind of likes to sell drinks and stuff. What happened was, I think maybe even you had a show after me.
No, Ruben Paul does.
Oh, well, what
he
happened
was,
was...
He was here. You met him.
Mm. Right.
You know Ruben, right?
Yeah, I met him. No, originally I had like an hour and a half show there. I think I like 7:30.
I've done it with you.
Yeah, of course.
Twice, I think.
A lot of you guys have.
Yeah.
But, and when Larry David would do it, a lot of people would come, it'd be packed and stuff. But I think he wasn't making a lot of money in drinks. And it was really like 40, 50 people, just the bottom.
Yeah, but I think it was also an early, it was like 7 o'clock.
It was early.
On Tuesday.
Yeah, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. It's a tough
and
one.
I didn't care. I kind of like the smaller crowds, but he likes to sell drinks and stuff. And then other people kind of like were doing well after me in that show. So he kind of wanted to start that one a little bit earlier. So mine kept getting narrower and narrower. And I call him. I say, Jamie, you know, I really don't have a lot of time. I have like usually I have four people on, and now I got to like do like 5 minutes for each person. Then I'm out of here. You know, body.
I have to make money, buddy. I have mortgage to pay, rent.
But yeah, it's funny as I've been in this business for a while. I don't take anything personally. I get it's like a business thing. You know, I get it. You got to make money. Okay.
Did you diversify your money at all?
I gave it to a lot of black people. And some brown people.
You adopted a kid once.
No, I did not diversify. I put all my money into bitcoins.
Did you? Well, that's pretty smart.
No, I just put a little bit into the bitcoins. Well, my son wrote that joke. Anything that doesn't work, I think is corny. I'll say my son wrote that.
My son wrote it.
Yeah.
He's 14. At least he gave it a shot.
I throw him under the bus.
Bitcoin dipped.
The school bus.
Bitcoin tanked about 40%.
No, but it came back. It bounced.
No, it's at 32,000.
Is it?
Yeah. Eddie? It was at 57, and now it's like 32,000. How much is it? 30? It went up then.
Would you invest in anything that's called Bitcoin?
It's sort of a coin. It's part of a coin.
It's a bit. It's just a little bit. You can make a little bit of money from this.
Dogecoin. I'm surprised we've all agreed to call it Dogecoin. It's a dog e-coin.
Dog e-coin. I never even heard of that.
Dogecoin? Really? That's the one that Elon's invested in now, isn't
never heard
it?
I don't even know who Elon is.
Elon Gold.
I had my 60th birthday party, and
I would have been there, but I wasn't invited.
You weren't invited. That's right. I remember saying no to you.
I even did the hint, like, "Hey, happy birthday, Kev."
It's funny. I
hope you have a great party.
We could only invite like a certain amount of people, but. I remember like afterwards I thought, oh shit, I forgot to invite so and so. I forgot to invite that person. There's like a lot of people I forgot to invite. Yeah, so Norm MacDonald's friend Lojo comes, and she brings Elon Musk's mother and sister.
Oh really?
Elon's sister to my party.
I've met Elon's mother before.
You have? Yeah. I guess she likes to get out and around, huh?
I did a TV show in Canada, and she was like the next guest after me.
Really?
Well, his mom's Canadian, right?
No, they're South African, but they moved to Canada.
No, I think the dad's South African and the mom's Saskatchewan.
Mom's South African too.
Oh, South African, eh? I thought she was born there.
He's born there too.
Right. And he went to Queen's University.
Yeah,
in
they
Kingston.
Moved to Canada and then right. they. Yeah.
Well, I know why I didn't invite you, because I had my quota of Indians there. I had Rajiv.
Who did Satyal. You have? Oh, you son of a bitch.
But will you come to my 70th party and spend...
I was right there. Wow. Regina, Saskatchewan.
But she has a South African accent.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. She probably grew up there.
Oh.
You know who else is from South Africa?
Jeremy Hotz.
Charlize Theron.
Correct. Sure, you picked the better looking of the two, but...
No, I actually
is Jeremy
think
from South Jeremy's Africa?
Better yeah,
originally?
Yeah, his parents are South African.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking we call South each other African, stinking.
I'm taking language South African. South African right now.
You what?
South I'm learning awesome. How to speak South African.
South African?
From Mexican girl.
In South
it's
America.
Kind of like now you're afraid to even say the name of a race because it's like you think you might be... offending somebody, so you always kind of lower your voice. You know, I was talking to a couple of black guys the other day. And, no, I was waiting in line at a food truck, and you know, I know the Mexican guy that owns it, and I was going to get. You know what? I got a nice burrito, and you don't whisper the words you should. Like, I was talking to a politician the other day, and there was a couple of lawyers nearby.
Well, Trader Joe's changed the packaging on some of their foods, saying it was.
Appropriation,
like
everything's
that's so stupid.
But you know well, who like complains about it? Mind. Not the people who are being appropriated. They don't give a shit. I kind of look at it as a tribute. They got to look at it the right way.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'd love to have my
not,
name.
Not
my
everything
package.
Is an insult. You know what I mean?
You call me Aunt Neilan.
Yeah, I mean if that's where you're at, you know.
Yeah.
What's your connection to Germany again?
I own it.
Germany. Do you get a good deal? Hey, Bitcoin.
Great
for
deal. Bitcoin. I used to live there when I was a kid. When I was 6 until I was 10, my father worked for a helicopter company. He called it a German outfit. So I thought he worked for Lederhosen for a long time. But take a break. But he. So I learned how to swim in Greece. I learned how to ski
thick.
In the Alps.
That's thick.
And I learned how to argue in Italy. That's I got all my education from Europe.
In Italy.
What if we hear like 5 in the morning, we're still talking. Yeah, so cigars everywhere. Like we're getting,
Kevin's got a needle hanging out of his arm. What's that?
There's like cigar smoke coming out of my clothes. I got to wash my clothes tonight. I haven't washed my clothes since the pandemic started. Now I got to wash it.
Your wife's going to hate us. I apologize.
I used to bartend at the Improv, Angelo, in 1980, 81, back in the 1900s. And it was, you know, it got so thick with smoke in there. My eyes would be burning like after a half hour. I'd have to go out every half hour. I have to go outside. And I have to always, you know how you have to always wash your clothes back.
Yep.
Back in the
70s. I started in 89 and I'd finish gigs. I think right up until around 97, you could smoke in the clubs, 98. Mm. And every weekend I'd come, man, my clothes stink. I'd have to wash them every weekend.
The only reason you wash them because of the smoke.
It really was the only reason I'd wash them.
How about when they had the smoking section in the airplanes? There was no divider. Yeah. It was just the seat behind you.
I remember
you.
That.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I remember that too.
These were the days. And we got some great memories from today.
Yeah, we really did. This was a walk down memory lane with Kevin Nealon and Angelo Tsiroukas. And memory lane, Ange, do you want to give us some facts on memory lane?
Let's recap, first of all. Charles Barkley, paintings,
yeah.
Spanish, AFib. And the five fiancés.
That's the name of my next special, Russell and the Five Fiancés.
I like that you're able to commit partially, though. You know what I mean? I mean, that's like, I remember I was going to get married. I was going to propose to my wife. It took me a while, but I got cold feet, but it was going to be before Halloween. That was my, I set this time limit. And I went out, I got a pumpkin and I got a diamond ring and I was going to place the diamond ring inside the pumpkin from the bottom and then say, hey, hon, you want to carve a pumpkin tonight? We'll have some champagne and stuff. And she'd find the ring as we're carving. And I proposed to her.
Right.
Every time I went over to her house, I get the pumpkin out that I had all carved out. I get the ring from the top of the door frame. And I'd set it all up, put it in the trunk of my car, go to her house, and I chicken out. And Halloween came and went, and it was. And I returned the ring. No, I returned the ring after Thanksgiving because I put it in a turkey for a while. I was gonna propose during Thanksgiving.
You had a collection of pumpkins and rings.
Yeah, rings. And then Easter came along, and that rabbit was not happy with that, that ring going up there. I really had to force it. But I ended up marrying the rabbit.
I would have expected more kids from that. Those things fuck like bunnies.
Oh, man.
How about that guy that put the ring in her drink, and the woman drank the drink, and then she started choking, and she died?
Did she really?
Yeah, that happened.
What happened?
Like in Cincinnati, he put the ring in her drink. And, you know,
was it a mood ring?
No. And I guess
she thought she looked
when she went to drink and she'd see it. Guy's clearly a fucking moron. And she drank it and it went down her throat and she started choking. And he goes, oh, the ring's in there. And then they try to get it out. And then I think, well, she either did a trigonometry or they.
Trigonometry? Algebra, you're thinking of algebra.
Algebra. What do you call it when they put the thing here?
Tracheotomy. Tracheotomy. Tracheotomy.
Tracheotomy. Okay.
Tracheotomy. It's for the Greek. It's a Greek word. Meaning ring. Ring and throat.
Yeah, it means complex math.
Trigonometry. That was thinking something else. And the funny thing, I think she almost died.
The funny thing is, she was.
Yeah, I mean, what did Malaka? Like, give her the fucking ring. You know, here's the ring. Well, you want to marry me? I put it in a drink or up a rabbit's.
Well, he put it in a milkshake.
Ass.
That's the problem.
Was it a milkshake?
It was a thick drink.
Yeah, a woman swallows. It was the milkshake.
He didn't do the Heimlich maneuver because he thought maybe she wouldn't like the ring if she saw it.
But why would you put it in a milkshake?
Who proposes to somebody over a milkshake?
Over a milkshake, you put a ring in a milkshake.
Was it Ronald McDonald?
Who knows, Grimace?
A Wendy's Frosty? You have to eat that with a spoon. I thought he put it like in a shot, and she just, you know, dink.
Remember that night me and Neil Brennan did my show? I interviewed him, and then he had enough.
He
goes, all right, we're done.
He puts the mic down. What was the last straw for him in that one?
I was messing with him. I was just, I knew he wanted
to
go.
That's what you do, yeah, though.
I knew he wanted to go, so I kept asking him stupid questions. He goes, all right, we're done.
Hey, I just see,
and there's a reason I bring that up.
Anyway, that's this episode of Culturally Canceled with Russell Peters.
I got to get home because my wife has like been making me dinners, and my son,
every night.
It's called Hello Fresh. It comes in a box, and it's healthy. I'll eat that, and then I'll eat theirs that they don't eat, and then I'll have ice cream, so it's not healthy in the long run, but
you know, Hello really Fresh good. Is a sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah. Are they really?
They really are.
Huh. So
that's HelloFresh.com/Peters.
I might use that clip from you just in the future for future ads because it was a very good endorsement. It was a very, very genuine endorsement.
So you don't have to do any of the lifting now.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Not only does the food get delivered, but Kevin Nealon will finish the ad for you.
I had one possible sponsor for Hiking with Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, I should get you on. Oh, I asked you to do that.
I did it.
I know.
Do you have a...
All right, we're done.
So, culturally canceled today. Hey, I want to thank my guests. The hysterical Kevin Nealon was here, and as I hoped he would be, he was in fine Kevin Nealon form.
You know, I'm always here for you.
Well, thanks, Kevin.
Angelo?
And Angelo Sarukis. Angelo Sarukis was here with all the facts.
That's Greek, you know, Sarukis.
Sarukis.
And math information if you needed.
And don't forget the trigonometry.
That's what I said, the math. Thanks, Maga.
It was fun. I had a lot of fun today with you guys. Thanks, Russell.
Ange does Greek math. He does malgebra.
Malgebra, exactly.
I'm Russell Peters. Thanks for listening, kids.